WMEL, Cocoa Beach, Melbourne.
It's 2 o'clock.
A shooting at a mall. President Obama takes the guesswork out of the State of the Union. I'm Molly Page. There are fatalities and injuries after a gunman opened fire in a Florida mall. Melbourne Police Commander Vince Price describes the rescue operation.
We put active shooter teams together to enter the mall. Our active shooter teams did enter the mall. We discovered one gentleman that is the suspect, one victim, and another victim we found to be dead. The two live victims were removed from the scene and given medical treatment and transported to a local hospital.
It is just being reported that a second person has died in that shooting. President Obama used his weekly address to focus on the State of the Union speech.
How to build on our momentum with rising wages, growing incomes, and a stronger middle class. And I'll call on this new Congress to join me in putting aside the political games and finding areas where we agree so we can deliver for the American people.
State of the Union set for 9 p.m. The California Department of Education says the number of students being suspended or expelled has dropped dramatically. Jim Roop reports the L.A. Unified School District has seen more than 50% decrease.
Are students behaving better? Not really. It's all about adjusting the zero-tolerance policy. In the L.A. Unified School District, what were zero-tolerance offenses like minor drug possession or fighting are met differently than in the past. Several months ago, then-Superintendent John Dacey launched a kinder and gentler policy of getting the parents and teachers involved in a more compassionate response.
I visit youth prisons all the time. They're filled with kids who should be in these buildings.
In the 2011-2012 school year, the nation's second-largest school district suspended nearly 19,000 students. Last year, only about 9,000. Discipline, said Dacey, doesn't always have to be negative. Jim Roop, Los Angeles.
The Ohio man accused of plotting to bomb the U.S. Capitol will stay behind bars. 20-year-old Christopher Cornell made a brief appearance in court in Cincinnati. That's where the judge denied his bond. I'm Molly.
Owning and caring for a home comes with a lot of to-dos. Tune up the furnace, clean the gutters, remodel the kitchen. Whatever your home improvement need, Home Advisor can help you find a pro you can trust to get the job done right. Go to home.homeadvisor.com for instant access to top-rated pros in your area, including electricians, handymen, plumbers, whatever type of home pro you need. And Home Advisor is absolutely free to use. At Home Advisor, you don't have to search through a long list of pros. With just a few clicks, Home Advisor matches you with pros who provide the exact services you need. You can read customer reviews of the pros, even use the cost guide to find out what hundreds of other home projects cost in your area. And because Home Advisor knows it's important to find a pro you can trust in your home, they conduct background checks on their service professionals. It's just one of the reasons more than 25 million homeowners have used Home Advisor. Go to home.homeadvisor.com to find the right pro for your project. That's home.homeadvisor.com.
After a series of small earthquakes, state officials in Connecticut met last night in a town near the Rhode Island border. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum says they answered questions and made sure everyone knew what to do should this so-called earthquake swarm continue. Steve Kastenbaum has the story.
A dozen small earthquakes in one week has folks in Connecticut asking, what's going on? And, of course, is the big one coming?
I don't think so.
Margaret Thomas is the state geologist.
These quakes have not changed our risk estimates for Connecticut.
She and other state officials met in eastern Connecticut yesterday, where the quakes have been felt, to make sure everyone is on the same page and that they know what to do should the ground shake some more. Connecticut Environmental Protection Commissioner Rob Klee says they're concerned about homes suffering damage from the repeated small earthquakes.
We're asking folks if they do notice damage or cracks to get an expert in to come and take a look at the foundation.
I'm Steve Kastenbaum.
No damage or earthquake or injuries reported.
Investing in bonds involves risk, including the possible loss of principal. Income may be subject to state, local, or federal alternative minimum tax. When interest rates rise, prices will fall. When interest rates fall, prices will rise.
I'm at a place in my life where I need investment income. That's why I invest in tax-free municipal bonds. I love the income they provide. Income that's federally tax-free. At this point, that's exactly the kind of income I need.
Tax-free municipal bonds can serve as the cornerstone for a conservative portfolio. They offer income that's tax-free. Henyon & Walsh is a leading expert in tax-free municipal bonds. We're committed to finding you the best bonds to meet your investment goals. We'll even send you our informative bond guide, absolutely free, if you call right now. 1-800-908-5154. If you have at least $10,000 to invest, consider municipal bonds. Take charge of your investments today and keep more of your hard-earned money. Call now to receive your copy of our informative bond guide. It's free, so call
right now. 1-800-908-5154. 1-800-908-5154. Henyon & Walsh, Inc. Member of FINRA, SIPC.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Partly sunny skies for our Saturday. We'll have an afternoon high today of 71. Tonight, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low of 53. Tomorrow, sunny skies, but our high again only reaches 71. Tomorrow night, clear skies, a chilly low of 47. And for Monday, sunny skies, a high near 67 degrees. It's the handyman Glenn Hagee tomorrow morning at 12 noon here on AM 1300.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. I'm Slaughter.
And I'm Lawson.
And our new show is called Mouthing Off, Saturdays at 3 p.m. On our sports talk show, we tackle hard-hitting sports topics on a local and national level. I'm Alan Slaughter.
And I'm Matt Lawson.
Talk to us Saturdays at 3 p.m. here on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
And worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
AM 1300 WMEL.
The views expressed on the following program are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and are not necessarily those of WMEL staff, management, or advertisers.
This is Bold Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bold Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Hi, this is Donna Anselmo at AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station, and you're listening to me on Bold Talk Business Radio. This is the show where we offer you insights, strategies, tips, and tools for success. We talk about business topics every week to help business owners, business professionals, people who are looking to advance their careers with information that will help them take a next step that will grow the business, bring success, bring satisfaction, and generally empower you to do what you want to do with your life and your work. So today we have a show for you that is very much centered on the Space Coast. We have the editor of Space Flight Insider magazine on the line with us. That is Jason Ryan. And we're going to be talking today about what's going on in space and really about the business of running a magazine that focuses on space. Jason, thanks for being with us today.
Well, Donna, it is a pleasure to be with you on this beautiful Saturday afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm happy to be at the studio today. You'd wonder about doing a show on a Saturday and giving up your weekends. I know, Jason, you and I have had a talk about that. But actually, there's just something exciting about doing radio, and so Saturdays on the air is always a special time for me.
Well, you know, the thing is, if you're a small business owner, you really don't get a day off. And so for me personally, space exploration is a labor of love. And I love my company, spaceflightinsider.com. We have a great team of folks and contributors, partners, sponsors, and advertisers. So if you wanted to talk about stocks or maybe football or what's going on in Hollywood, then yeah, coming in on a Saturday would be a chore. But no, this is a complete joy, and it's a lot of fun to get a chance to talk to you today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you're with us. And what one of the things that I'm really interested in is the fact that you started a magazine, Space Flight Insider, spaceflightinsider.com, at a time when magazines, advertising, publishing is really a difficult and challenging business today. So tell me a little bit about what inspired you to start Space Flight Insider. And we'll talk a little bit about, you know, some of the underpinnings of building a magazine in this environment. And then we'll talk a little bit more about space and your, you know, the thing that you love the most is space exploration and why we're doing a project out in the reaches of the universe.
Well, first things first, is I want a little tweak there. We are not a magazine. We are an online journal. We are all web-based. The team at Space Flight Insider essentially hails from every profession you could think of that is involved with journalism. Writers, editors, photographers, videographers, marketing and public relations people, and they all pretty much work on a volunteer basis. They do so for access to the events. They do so to gain experience. We have a lot of very young people. In fact, we have a partnership with the Florida Institute of Technology where their students can come out to launches. And they actually report, they write about the events and the launch vehicles and the payloads for our website. In fact, we have a young lady, Florida Tech, Amory Hodges. Her article I'm editing as we speak. So it can be a bit of a challenge. But I think, and you and I have had this conversation, if you look at things from a unique viewpoint, something different, look outside of what is established, and you can make it. You can definitely be successful.
Well, one of the things I like that you said was the little tweak or correction on the use of the word magazine. I think about information that's coming out periodically as the term magazine, but you're talking about it as an online journal, and I love the concept of journal because journal basically tells us that it's what's happening now, that it's an active proposition, and that it's continually updated.
Oh, yes, ma'am. And this is one of the, I'll let you know, the good and the bad. One of the biggest challenges we faced in forming in late 2013 is having that regular, timely content. That is a constant day-to-day battle with us. Because we do have volunteers and we do have people that aren't, in some cases, trained journalists or they don't have a lot of experience in the field, keeping them mindful that, if your article, if the event happened at 2 o'clock, I joke, if the event happened at 2 p.m., if your article didn't appear at 1 p.m., you're late. And that's almost reality. You need to be nearly instantaneous, especially with social media. So we have daily content of at least 2-3 new sources of articles or some other types of information, perhaps videos. We do video feature. And I've got some exciting news I hope to share with your readers a little bit, your listeners a little bit on that later on. But, you really got to stay timely, and you got to stay constant. You got to be very hyper aware of what's going on in the industry.
Well, one of the things that you talked about was the challenge of having people who are volunteers who maybe don't come from the traditional journalist school, but that nevertheless are providing up-to-the-minute information. So where are you getting your subject matter experts from?
Well, our subject matter experts, we are very fortunate. Virtually every reputable space-related organization out at Space Coast and across the continent of the United States and even beyond has a great, spectacular working relationship with the folks at Space Flight Insider. We have a partnership with, like I said, the Florida Institute of Technology. We are sponsored by Space Florida. We are sponsored by ATK, and we have signed an agreement with an even more prestigious organization to run ads for their products on our website. But until the ad appears, I'm a little bit leery of making that statement to your readers. We just say that you should tune in, and you'll see a very prominent company in the industry advertising our site. And we've also recently started working with the Astronaut Scholarship Foundation. So I told you all that to basically tell you this. We have good working relationships with everyone out there, and we develop partnerships and arrangements with these folks to find out more information. So we get the content from the inside, but that's not where our name comes from. And it's a popular misconception that Space Flight Insider's name, because the people working within the company have, inside access. And while that is true, the name actually means that if you come to our website, we will make you the insider. We have a policy where readers can ask us a question, and they'll make a statement, and we will take that directly to NASA or directly to Boeing.
That is very exciting, Jason. And I think if anybody comes to your website URL, spaceflightinsider.com, they're going to see a really beautifully laid out, very crystal clear, cool-looking website with tons of good information and, of course, all of your sponsors listed, which makes the whole thing come together. Also, what I really like about Space Flight Insider, and I'm not doing a commercial here, I'm just telling it like it is that you not only have a news archive, but you've got rich media in there. You have a launch calendar. You monitor the missions that are happening. And so everything is very broad. It's kind of like the whole universe in one spot on the internet. And I wanted you to talk a little bit about some of the reasons that you organized Spaceflight Insider the way that you did. What are some of the challenges that that you had in pulling that all together, and why you did it? I know one of the conversations I had had with you a few months ago was that you talked to me about the different news vehicles that were out there and how many of them concentrate in one area or one type of news delivery. Tell us how Spaceflight Insider is different in that way.
Well, we are the chihuahua that tries to bark like a pit bull. And let me explain what I mean really quick by that. You'll have some outlets that have just a live show. That's their main focus. You'll have other outlets that have a political bent one way or the other, or they just do articles, or they are very much focused on the imagery. Mm-hmm. And Spaceflight Insider is one of the smaller outlets. We're only a year old, and we're still not, the space.com or the Aviation Weeks out there. We're not as big as them. But we basically look at what each of the outlets do. Certain outlets have a good point you mentioned was the launch calendar. Virtually every outlet that covers space lets you know when the launches are going to be taking place. Well, they'll give you Atlas V, Cape Canaveral, Luos 3, and then maybe if you're lucky, a paragraph's worth of information, if you're lucky. Spaceflight Insider, we take all of that, give you at least a paragraph's worth of information, an image of the launch vehicle, image of the launch service provider's logo, an image of the customer flying the payload on the rocket, and we're even working to broaden that more. We've just kicked off our live show, which we have a live webcast for every launch at Cape Canaveral Air Force Station. We've been kind of downplaying it as we've gotten more and more, until we get more comfortable with doing the live show. Mission Monitor is where we basically track the launch, and you can read the, it's almost like tweets. We add the little, it's like a little form. We add information there. And, of course, we also include the LSPs, the launch service providers, video from the pad, which also in that same page, so we have Mission Monitor, we have the tweets, we'll have the, or the text, we'll have the launch service providers video, and we'll also have our live show from from on-site. So what we've tried to do is basically look at what everybody does, and then incorporate all of that under one banner.
Well, you are listening to AM 1300 WMEL, and this is a special show today. We always talk about business on Bold Talk Business Radio in this hour. This is Donna Anselmo, your Bold Talk Business Radio host, and our guest expert today is Jason Ryan, senior editor and founder of SpaceflightInsider.com, an online journal of information about what's happening in the space industry and space exploration. Jason, tell me a little bit about what inspired you to do this. Where did your interest, this is a multi-part question, where did your interest in space come from, and how did your love and space passion turn into a magazine? Well, not a magazine, but an online journal.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate that. Mine is kind of a sad story. I was a corrections officer for the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office. I'd been there for about, 5 years. Correction, a couple years. When one day I came home from work, and it's kind of ironic that you would talk about, ask me that question in this month. And I was getting out of my uniform and getting ready. And I worked the night shift, so it was like 7 o'clock. It was early in the morning. I don't want to give a specific time. I can't remember. But I turned the TV on, and I noticed that the reporters were scratching their heads. They didn't understand why Columbia had not landed yet. And one reporter asked, well, is it possible the shuttle landed at another airport? And then I heard the word contingency. Now, anyone that follows the space program knows that is the last word you want to hear. And, of course, that was the day we lost the crew of STS-107. And so I began really questioning what I was doing with my life. And it wasn't very fulfilling. It was very dangerous. It was highly stressful. It was causing problems in my marriage. I would take my work home with me, and I wasn't very happy. So I started looking at what else I could do. And I realized the people, the so-called experts on TV and the journalists, really were falling down on the job. in my opinion. I mean, that's just me.
That's a big opinion.
I know. When CNN says that the shuttle was traveling at 17 times the speed of light when it was lost, that is an epic failure because mankind has not broken the speed of light yet. Columbia was traveling at 17 times the speed of sound when it was lost, and there's a huge difference there. And that's just stuff that I can tell you off the top of my head.
Right, and you as a space enthusiast caught that, and so it influenced your desire to tell the story in a different way. Is that what you're saying?
Yep. Maybe not a different way, but just to make sure that the correct information got out. So I went and I got a degree. I started getting my degree while I was still working in corrections. I did it virtually online at the Brevard Community College virtual campus. And then once I had my two-year degree, it was time for me to put up or shut up. So most folks who get a two-year degree, they apply for you can get increased pay at the sheriff's office. Instead, I tendered my resignation. I went to the University of South Florida. A year later, I interned in NASA for the first time, successfully completed that internship. A couple years later, they asked me to go out to do another internship.
And that was at NASA?
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. First one was at NASA's Kennedy Space Center press site. The second one was with their explorations system, ESMD, Systems Mission Directorate. They have a long acronym, so how does it get wrapped up?
How did you get that gig to intern at NASA?
I was blessed. Jack Fox, who works at Swamp Works out there, is a friend of mine. And funny story is, I was talking to a journalist, Kurt Loft, at the Tampa Tribune. He said, you should go and see this guy, Russell Romanella. He's going to be presenting at St. Pete. So I went there. I spoke to him, and then I got to interview him, and he started listening to me, and he says, well, hey, send me your resume. I sent him my resume. I thought, yeah, well, I'll never hear from that again. The next thing I know, Jack Fox called me and said, hey, I got your resume in my hands. Do you want to work for NASA for the summer? I'm like, how much do I have to pay you? He goes, no, we'll pay you. Come on out to NASA. So I went to I got an internship in 07, and for about a little over three months, I was an intern there, and then I completed that, went back to college, and then in 2009 I got tapped again to not at NASA press site, but with their Exploration Systems Mission Directorate. I did another internship there as well.
So what's interesting to me is I have the reverse story. I started in journalism. I was a managing news editor for a group of community weekly papers on Long Island. I was a freelance contributor to the New York Times. And then I went into PR. Your story is you started in PR, and now you're in journalism.
Yeah, that's totally true. And thanks for bringing that up. And it's funny that we have such exact opposite experiences, because when I did my 2007 internship, basically they told me, we don't hire people right out of college. Well, that's both true and not true. But long story short is I got to do the internship out there, and I realized that NASA is somewhat limited in what it can say, and the public relations practitioners are somewhat limited in what they could say, and journalists really had the opportunity to say what was going on and to lay it all out, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I went back to USF, and I said, well, how many more classes do I have to take to be a journalist? And they said six. I said, okay, let's do that. Oh, so you want to change degrees? And I'm former military and I'm former law enforcement. I come from a different work ethic I guess a lot of young people today may have. And I was like, no. I finish what I start. Let me get my degree in journalism. Let's add the six courses and I'll get a degree in journalism. Or I'll finish a degree in public relations and get a degree in journalism as well. And that's what I ended up doing.
Well, that's impressive. And that's a lot of hard work. And it's a very cool because it gives you the perspective both as the corporate PR spokesperson, understanding what happens when the message has to flow out in a particular way, and then you tie that, and I know that you're particularly concerned about this, about tying it in an ethical way, and being very careful about making sure that what you are promoting, I don't want to use the word even promoting, but what you're posting on spaceflightinsider.com isn't slanted news.
You know, exactly. And that's very hard to do because when you work in this business, you tend to lean one way or the other. There are two camps in space, old and new space, quote unquote. And I'm very glad you mentioned that because I read recently someone made a comment about myself personally. You know, in this business, you got to have thick skin, but instead, it said something to the fact that one of the media outlets I had helped, that basically they had parted ways with me because I had an ethical issue. And it was phrased like I was doing something wrong. Well, the problem there is that's not true. What had happened was the people who owned the company got hired by an aerospace company, one of the more prominent new players on the scene. And that's a direct conflict of interest. So I stopped working with them. We've also seen some other outlets that have vested interest in some of the more established firms. And so one of the things we kind of sat down when the team that formed Spaceflight Insider, you know, we said, look, we are what journalism is supposed to be, not what it's become in this new media era, you know, with the tweets and the socials and the social media.
Yes, I want to add to that because journalism, and I noticed this back, I think it was around, must have been 1992, was that when Bill Clinton was elected? Because I was doing reporting at the time and very much involved with the press associations and the newspapers on Long Island and writing political news. But what I was finding was that what I was reading in many of the other outlets and hearing was not political news that was objective, but I was hearing political analysis, political commentary, political opinion. And at that point, I actually wrote an editorial in was the Times Beacon newspapers at the time, which was a smaller group, not the New York Times, although I wrote for them too. But in the Times Beacon on Long Island, I had written an editorial called Don't Let the Media Steal Your Vote. And it won third place for the Long Island Press Club the next year at their media awards. And it was when I started to notice the change in the way that news was being delivered. And today you don't even see news. You see the big talking heads are all providing their opinion, and it's very hard to cut through and find out what's actually happening.
It is, and one of the things that I do that I don't think a lot of people do, is they'll either go to Fox, you know, they'll go to MSNBC, depending on their political slant. If I go to everyone, the only way I can guarantee that I will never visit your site or never review your work is if you've shown a propensity to do things that are unethical or show that you have a slant. There was a show, a webcast, where a person that's vehemently opposed to one of the new launch systems that's coming out was on the webcast owned by these two individuals, and they were basically slamming the system. Well, the problem is their boss wants the contract for that system that's being slammed. So, I mean, it was just like you said, it was very shocking to see them do this, and it was very unprofessional. And I said, you know what? No. So that's one of the things that we've kind of worked on. We really try to be as fair and as unbiased as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it is difficult. In the writers, you know, I can sometimes read that they have a particular preference. I'll tweak their articles a little bit so that it stays. The one criticism we've gotten a lot of is that because of how we write, our writing sometimes sounds, and our reporting, when we do video features as well, comes across as a little bland. Well, maybe so, but we do have opinion and editorial features. We're trying to do those less and less these days, but there's just no, you know, the simple truth is the hardest part about being unbiased in this new era, Donna, is you need numbers, you need hits, and if you're unbiased, you do come across as a little dull.
Well, we're going to come back, Jason. We'll come back and we'll talk about the business of online reporting in a little while. We have just under a minute left, and I want our listeners to know that we're going to continue talking about the space industry and Space Flight Insider reporting on AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. You're listening to Donna Anselmo and Jason Ryan, senior editor and founder of Spaceflight Magazine. Stay with us, and we'll be right back after the news.
And this is Wayne West, live in the studio, AM 1300 WMEL. We'll have the latest updates for you on the Melbourne Square Mall shooting coming up in just a few seconds on Network News here on 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Our Saturday forecast has partly sunny skies today and a cool high, only reaching 71. Tonight, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a low of 53. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high 71. Sunday night, clear skies, a chilly low of 47. And for Monday, it'll be sunny with a high only reaching 67 degrees. It's the Garden Rebel, Robert Vincent Sims. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, here on AM 1300.
Hello, Space Coast. This is Mark Allen, host of Late Night Health, midnight to 2 a.m. on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL. Each weekend, hear the latest on health-related matters designed with the baby boomer in mind. From heart disease and diets to diabetic issues to obesity, Late Night Health is great company overnight. Make a date with me, Mark Allen. It's Late Night Health, Sunday mornings, midnight to 2 a.m. on the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL, and worldwide at 1300WMEL.com.
AM 1300 WMEL.
Person has reportedly died after a shooting at a mall in Central Florida. Police Commander Vince Price.
We put active shooter teams together to enter the mall. Our active shooter teams did enter the mall.
Melbourne police saying this morning's shooting left two people dead, one in the hospital with a gunshot wound. One of those killed is believed to be the shooter, although that's not been confirmed. Police say the injured person is in stable condition and is cooperating with investigators. Canadian authorities are searching for a gunman who shot two Royal Canadian Mounted Police this morning in Alberta. Police say one of the officers is in grave condition, another in serious but stable condition. It happened early today in the city of Alberta as the Mounties were investigating a stolen vehicle complaint. And the Ohio man accused of plotting to bomb the U.S. Capitol is staying behind bars. 20-year-old Christopher Cornell made a brief appearance in federal court in Cincinnati, and that is where a judge denied his bond. I'm Molly Page.
Owning and
Our Saturday forecast has partly sunny skies today and a cool high, only reaching 71. Tonight, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, a low of 53. Tomorrow, mostly sunny and a high 71. Sunday night, clear skies, a chilly low of 47. And for Monday, it'll be sunny with a high only reaching 67 degrees. It's the Garden Rebel, Robert Vincent Sims. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon, here on AM 1300.
Health First Health Plans presents Understanding Medicare.
When you turn 65 and are eligible for Medicare, you're faced with many questions about your health insurance options, and you're not alone. In today's Understanding Medicare, we're going to answer a question you may have about Medicare. What are Medicare Advantage plans?
A Medicare Advantage plan provides comprehensive health plan options through a private insurance company that has a contract with Medicare. Medicare Advantage plans offer all the coverage of original Medicare plus extra benefits like gym memberships.
Understanding Medicare, presented by Health First Health Plans.
WMEL 1300 Cocoa Beach, Melbourne, Palm Bay. Nominated Business of the Year by the Cocoa Beach Regional Chamber of Commerce.
Fresh, crisp, clean mountain air.
And the sound of angelic snowflakes falling on pristine tree-lined slopes.
That's Timberline Resort, located in wild, wonderful West Virginia.
It's heaven, and you're almost there.
Enjoy 37 trails,
150 inches of annual snowfall,
and a 1,000-foot vertical drop.
That's Timberline Resort.
Ski and stay packages are available for Timberline Hotel and Suites,
where adventure and fun collide with nature's pristine beauty and abundance.
In real snow country.
Enjoy two terrain parks
and skiing adventure
for the whole family.
Or relax and dine by the fireside
after hitting the best 100 acres of skiable terrain.
All at Timberline Resort.
Visit TimberlineResort.com
or call 1-800-SNOWING to plan your perfect winter getaway.
Here, where it's heaven.
And it's so close,
you're almost there.
Your home for Orlando Magic basketball on the Space Coast is AM 1300 WMEL. Tune in Sunday evening as Victor Oladipo and the Orlando Magic host Kevin Durant, Russell Westbrook, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Dennis Newman and Richie Adubato will have all the action from the Amway Center. Pregame show at 5:30 p.m., tip-off at 6 p.m. Sunday night. Right here on your home for the Magic for over 23 years, the Talk to Me station, AM 1300 WMEL.
AM 1300 WMEL.
This is Bull Talk Business Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, the CEO of Bull's Marketing Solutions, Donna Anselmo.
Okay, welcome back to AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. This is Donna Anselmo, your host at Bold Talk Business Radio, and we have Jason Ryan on the line with us again in this segment following the news, talking about what's going on in space and particularly about his online journal, spaceflightinsider.com. Jason, we were talking when we went off the air about what's going on in news reporting today and how your effort with Spaceflight Insider was to develop a very objective news vehicle. So let's just pick up on that quickly, and then I want to move on to some real talk about what's going on in the space industry itself.
Well, again, it's very difficult to anyone that tells you they're completely unbiased isn't being honest, because everyone has an opinion. They see things, they experience things, and it colors how we act. So, again, I think what I was saying near the end there when I was speaking was that it takes a lot. You really have to be careful what you're saying. Yes, that stuff kind of slips in a little bit, but in the end, the biggest problem we encounter is it makes it kind of bland. But I would rather our content be a little boring and have less of an obvious bias than for it to be very biased and very overt, that we're supporting one thing or the other. Because in the end, like you were alluding to, yes, we do have a bias. We love space. That is our bias. We love space exploration. We don't care if it's a Falcon 9, Atlas 5, Soyuz, Ariane 5, we don't care what the launch vehicle is, H2A. I mean, we really don't have a dog in the race. We just like to see the rockets go and see space exploration efforts
That's the fun side of it. There's also the political side of it. And when you think about the fact that the whole space program, as we know it today, really kicked into high gear when Russia beat us to the punch with the launch of Sputnik 1. So at that time, they formed a new congressional focus on it. I believe it was Dwight Eisenhower who signed that into reality, the signed NASA. And then after that, President Kennedy was very successful in really mobilizing a nation, because at the time, as I understand it, I was very young when this all happened, but at the time, the concerns were that the Russians beat us into space. We now had some national security concerns, and we also, as a nation, had national pride at stake. Like, we wanted to be the big guys. And so we, as a nation, really mobilized. And I think that President Kennedy actually did something pretty amazing in being able to stimulate national pride at that time. Now I look at what's going on in this country, and knowing that so much of what happened to really spur the space program into high gear came around nationalism and patriotism. And today, being patriotic isn't cool among many people, and it's cool for me. And I want to make that very, very clear. I'm very proud of this country, and I'm proud of the efforts that we have made in space. Not that I've had very much to do with it, but in my heart, I really support it. And with my tax dollars, I certainly support it and will support it. And I'd love to hear your views on what's changed since we started the space program. So much obviously has changed, but what do you see in terms of the trends today in terms of people talking politically about where we should be and what we should be doing and whether we should even be in space? And then what you think is a rational understanding of where we can really go at this point?
Well,
lots of questions.
The one thing I want to do, I want to kind of touch real quick back on what we were just talking about, and views I'm about to express are solely those of myself and do not necessarily reflect those of Spaceflight Insider. But I think what we've encountered is kind of a hangover from the me generation. It seems like a lot of folks these days are more concerned about getting to orbit so they can take selfies, with the Earth in the background, and that seems to be their driving goal. Going to Mars really doesn't seem to be big on the public's interest. It just seems like we've lost our way.
Well, Jason Ryan, hang on that, because I want to just add to this that Buzz Aldrin's new website has a new T-shirt out, Get Your Butt to Mars. And I know that T-shirt is also being produced over at Space Shirts right here on the Space Coast in Merritt Island.
Right, yep. And we have some good folks over there with Space Shirts. They actually help out our company quite a bit, one of our sponsors. Buzz obviously has a he wants people to go to Mars. He's been working for that for a while, so it's good to have someone of his stature involved in this. But I think what we are capable of doing right now is twofold. We have two paths in front of us. Back when we had the Constellation program, we were going to Moon, Mars, and beyond, and it was over budget, it was mismanaged, and it was eventually canceled, all except for the Orion spacecraft. And not saying that was a good thing or a bad thing. I think that it would have probably been better if it was reorganized. It was given a very strict budget, much like the James Webb Space Telescope has been given. And you can even rename the spacecraft whatever political party it is, the Democrat booster or the Republican rocket, whatever you want. But instead, what happened was about, and estimates vary, between 9 and 14 billion was wasted in everything they developed. Virtually everything they developed was canceled. Some segments were somewhat salvaged, but that's a complete waste. And what happened was NASA was then directed to enable and empower smaller new quote-unquote new space firms and some of the established space firms to handle things commercially. And
well,
to me, that
hold that thought, Jason, because Wayne Westower, inimitable engineer here today, has just pulled up the audio of John Kennedy making the announcement about choosing to go to the moon.
We choose
We're going to listen
to
that for a second here.
We choose to go to the moon. We choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills, because that challenge is one that we're willing to accept, one we are unwilling to postpone, and one we intend to win.
Thank you so much, Wayne West, for bringing that clip to us today. And it's really an inspiration. And what I want to continue talking with Jason Ryan, senior editor and founder of SpaceflightInsider.com, about is the need for the work that we're doing out in space today.
Okay, well, it's very important that we continue to work in space today. Basically, the path that NASA's on right now is that commercial companies will handle low-Earth operations. Those are ones that were the ISS sat. That's only 260 miles above our heads. It's something we've done very well for the past six decades. We've been there. We've done that. We've got the T-shirt. NASA, meanwhile, as it hands over responsibility of LEO, quote-unquote, operations to these smaller firm to handle cargo and crew delivery to the station, we'll then focus on what's known as Beyond Earth Operations, or BEO, and that includes the moon, an asteroid towed into lunar orbit, and hopefully one day, sometime in the 2030s, is the earliest estimate I've heard, Mars. So that's currently where NASA's at right now.
How do you think what's going on today politically in the rest of the world? We're looking at, you know, the rise of radical Islam. We're looking at real serious conflict across our nation in terms of opinion and divisiveness. We're looking at conflict in Europe, conflict in the Middle East, issues with China and Russia. And a lot of people look at that and they say, we've got so many problems at home, so many problems on our planet. We've got, you know, issues with global warming, according to some. We have environmental concerns for sure that we have to address. When people say to you, what are we doing out in space when we've got so many problems right here on Earth, what do you answer?
Well, give me a second to respond to that, because that requires a kind of a full response. That is, that argument, we should spend money on Earth rather than spend on space, is one of the, and I hate to use such strong language, but dumbest things I've ever heard. Because here's how it works. NASA gets $18.7 billion roughly a year from the U.S. federal government. They totally get. And back in the day, that got us the space station, that got us the space shuttle, that got us all the rovers and the spacecraft that are exploring the solar system and beyond. That got us the Hubble Space Telescope, all the astronauts, all the educational programs, all for $18.7 billion a year. And you could take all that money and shut NASA down, and I guarantee you Not one social problem would go away because NASA was no longer there, but we would miss so much. We would become so much lesser because we didn't have NASA. We would miss out on, I mean, talk about global warming and climate change and environmental issues. There are so many spacecraft that study our atmosphere and study the impacts of mankind's having on what. We wouldn't have any of that. We wouldn't have the studies and the research into cancers and other very horrendous diseases that the International Space Station crews are working on right now. We wouldn't have a greater understanding of our place in not just the solar system, but the entire universe. We would lose all of that because of some very emotional argument, one with no facts and basically no sense behind it whatsoever. We would gain nothing from that. As long as there have been people, there have been war, there has been diseases, there has been internal strife, there has been fundamentalist religious fanatics wanting to murder in the name of their religion. We've always had these problems, and we always will. $18.7 billion will not cure any ail that society has. End of story. And you had a second part to that question, and can you please refresh my memory as to what that was?
Well, I think I was asking about the – I got so caught up in your answer that I have to think back to my other question. But I think that where I was going with that was looking at what's going on, you know, politically in this country and looking at what's going on in the world. I was asking about the trend of where you see the space program going. And that also, as you were talking, I just want to add to that, that as you were talking, I was thinking about the very many discoveries that do come to us that people in general just don't ever realize actually came out of the space program research, like Teflon and Speedo bathing suits. They seem innocuous now, but you were talking about the bigger things like understanding our weather patterns, understanding whether man has the capacity to actually live in space. And we know that now.
Mm-hmm. Well, the path forward I see for NASA is kind of tenuous. The current administration has done a very poor job of handling NASA. And there's just, I mean, people can argue all they want. It has seen many of its scientific program budgets cut, I mean, just across the board. In fact, if it's generally... The NASA is handled by the president and the vice president, and the Senate and Congress usually don't get involved. The Senate and Congress had to get involved, and Congress had to get involved. In fact, the new space launch system has been dubbed the Senate launch system because President Obama tried to cancel everything. Well, you know, we would have no human deep space exploration efforts if that took place. They actually had to get involved because of the current administration's actions. And in the end, I think, you know, say what you will about our government, it actually worked out very well because thanks to the president, we have a very strong program to develop commercial-based services in low-Earth orbit, and NASA is going back to what it should be doing. It should be a pathfinder. It should be paving the way. In fact, Charlie Bolden said, I'm just a few feet away from him when he was checking out the Orion spacecraft, that they're basically going to serve as a pathfinder. They're going to go to a destination, and once they're comfortable with that destination, they're going to hand it off to commercial industry. That's the way that it should be. I mean, the biggest problem, which I think we have the opportunity to witness, and I hope we never do, is that what happened in 2010 starts to become a pattern. And what happened was NASA was already on a path. They'd already invested $9 billion in 7 years, and that all got thrown out the window, and they had to start all over again. Well, if that keeps happening and NASA's constantly directing this way and that, I can tell you right now what the space agency will be able to accomplish. Nothing. Because as soon as it's put on the path of something, it changes. You have to go do something else. You have to restructure it. They can't do it. So my fear is, and again, this is just my opinion, is that we'll see a repeat of this should a new administration comes in. So every new president will have his own plans for NASA, and it'll be an agency that's, through the actions of political parties and partisanship, is incapable of doing anything.
So you're favoring then a privatization and having somebody else set the agenda?
Well, I'm going to say my personal opinion is this: is I like the path they're on right now. NASA goes to the moon. NASA,
by the way, hang on
NASA
a second there, Jason. Jason, hang on, Jason. I just want to let our listeners know, in case they tuned in late, that we are listening to AM 1300 WMEL, the Talk to Me station. We're talking with senior editor and founder of Spaceflight Insider, Jason Ryan. This is Donna Anselmo, your host at Bold Talk Business Radio. Jason, continue your thought on where we're going.
Well, real quick, I think that NASA serving as a pathfinder, going to new destinations and testing out new technologies is the way to go. Meanwhile, should NASA constantly be involved with low Earth orbit? No. SpaceX has shown that it can very easily send cargo to the International Space Station. So why have NASA do that? You don't need to. You don't go to NASA when you want to get a plane ticket to go to San Francisco, do you? No. You pick up a commercial ticket.
That's a good point.
Once the technology to do a certain thing has happened enough, NASA's proven that it can do it, and it hands it off to somebody else. Now, having said that, I think it's going to be quite a while, quite a few trips to the moon, quite a few trips to Mars, quite a few trips to an asteroid or where have you, before that gets handed off. And you might see a different dynamic at play there, where it's less of it being handed off, more of a partnership between commercial companies and the public organizations like NASA. So I think that they're on the right track now, but again, my concern is that we'll get a new president and they'll change everything again. And then if you start to see that pattern, NASA's just going to be irrelevant, because it's not going to be able to do what it's supposed to do without the fear of, in 4 or 8 years, everything it's been working on will just be thrown away. So I think if we're smart, we'll continue to support what's going on. We'll continue to fund NASA, because in the end, space exploration is the most important thing we can do. And I'm going to close my long-winded segment by just saying, without space, we lose Einstein. We lose Marilyn Monroe. We lose the Beatles. We lose Newton. We lose all of our great discoveries, our greatest artists, Picasso, Eminem. All of that will go away, because sooner or later, if we don't get into the business of going to other worlds and colonizing and living off them, the sun is going to expand, and it's going to expand past Mercury. It's going to expand past Venus, and it's going to expand past Earth. And every accomplishment in human history will be lost. And we need to get started working on this now rather than later. Complacency will mean that every great achievement and every great tragedy encountered by the human race, all of our history will be lost. Well, so there's no... Go ahead.
That's a very strong vantage point for looking at, deep into the future, what is the implication of what we're doing now? We're talking with Jason Ryan. Jason, what do you think, looking back at the things that really excited you, what did you think was like the coolest space mission, and what do you see as the piece that you'd really like to see happen next?
Oh, that's a hard question. Funny thing is, there's a little-known astronaut that was part of the Mercury program, Gus Grissom. He flew on Gemini 3, and he was supposed to command the mission of Apollo 1. And the unknown fact by a great majority of the populace is that the first man on the moon, if NASA had their way initially, was going to be Neil Grissom. It wasn't going to be Armstrong. But on Apollo 1, they had a fire in the cabin, and the crew was lost. So throughout his career, he had a lot of hard luck incidents and things that he had to overcome and challenges that he had to get past. And Gus Grissom is the person, I don't know about a mission, but the person that when I think about what I think is important to remember and to keep motivated and keep working on this, he's the person that I go to, because he had a hatch below on him on Liberty Bell 7 on the second flight of Mercury. And for a long time it was thought that he did it, but later on it was proven that he did not. Gemini 3, there was a lot of controversy about a corned beef sandwich, of all things. And on Apollo 1, of course, he lost his life. A better case of irony, because of the hatch. They couldn't get the hatch open in time. So
a tragedy.
A lot of people tend to not look at bad incidents. They don't use them as a guide point. I think that's a failing, because if you look at the challenges that some people had to go through, it's far more daunting to consider what they had to do than what you're currently facing. So that serves as an inspiration to me. I know that the times with NASA are
That was very, very interesting comment that you made, thinking about what they had to do. We have 4 minutes left on Bold Talk Business Radio with Jason Ryan, founder and editor of Spaceflight Insider magazine.
online journal. That's spaceflightinsider.com. And I was thinking last night as I was watching in preparation for the show, I went and pulled a 50-year retrospective on NASA's history. And I was looking at the video of Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepping on the moon, and then, you know, the Eagle has landed and getting back up and sinking again with Challenger that, you know, returned them back. And what I was thinking about is when you leave, like, the opportunity and the experience of stepping on the moon, something that nobody had ever done before. And I don't think anybody has done since. Am I right on that?
And there have been 12 people.
I'm sorry. Okay. So it very in the spectrum of all the people on the, you know, Earth, very few people have ever stepped on the moon. But when you're the first people to do that, you come home and you say, what's next? Or, you know, how do you beat that?
I don't know that how do you beat that? Well, you do something else. You go to an asteroid, you go to Mars, you go to the moons of Jupiter, you go to the moons of Saturn, and you continue the road. As there's a very great series of movies that just came out that has a book mentioned in them that is perfect. The road goes ever on. As Bilbo Baggins' book says, the road goes ever on out to the cosmos. So I think that there is always something that can beat that, but we have to challenge ourselves to do it. We become a very complacent society, a very sedentary society, and I think it's past time we change that. We are the greatest nation on the earth, and we need to remember that, and we need to not be made to feel ashamed of that, but to embrace and say, yeah, you know what, we are the greatest.
And I love that, and I think that's a great way, as we begin to wrap up this segment, to remember that it is that competitive spirit, that drive, the innovation. We've got 3 minutes left, you know, and the real desire that Americans have to make something of themselves and to really contribute to the world. I'd like to hear from you, Jason, in the next under 3 minutes that we have left. Whatever you would like to share with our listeners about spaceflightinsider.com. And I'd also like to let our listeners know that for those of you out there interested in space flight and space memorabilia, look up spaceshirts.com, one of my favorite providers on the Space Coast, with all kinds of T-shirts and other information and memorabilia about the space program. Jason, how can people get in touch with you, and leave me with some parting words about Space Flight Insider?
Thank you, Donna. Well, it's very easy to get in contact with me. I have, basically, if you go to spaceflightinsider.com, you look around, you'll find our About section. You can go there, and I have my email address, my company email address is there. And I'm, as I noted earlier, we're very rare within the industry. If you reach out to us and there's something we can do to assist you to get you more involved, we'll actually take the time to do it. And we'll, if you have a question, we'll actually take the time to answer the question. We'll get someone to answer that for you. I know that you deal heavily with business and marketing and advertising. And Space Flight Insider is unique. A lot of outlets that are out there are struggling these days to get by with the advertising model that's been established. You get 10,000 hits, we'll give you X amount of funds. We don't do that anymore. We have those, but they're generally sponsors that want to support our efforts. We do something a little different. What we do is we'll get a sponsor that says, look, we love your site, but we need video services. We need video packages, or we need still photography. I'm like, not a problem. And they will help fund our business. In return, we'll go and get stills and video from them.
It's a very unique way of partnering with your customers to make sure that they get what they need and you get what you need. How can people reach you, Jason?
Spaceflightinsider at gmail.com is the best way. I check that at least 10 times a day, it seems like, so they should have no problem contacting.
That's great, and I want to just let our listeners know a little piece of trivia. Our own Wayne West was born on the day that they... shared a birthday.
I was 14 the day Apollo 11 landed, July 20th, 1969. Greatest day in history.
Darn straight.
You got it.
And a happy birthday for you with lots of celebration that day, I'm sure. So thank you for joining us on Bold Talk Business Radio. We will be back on the air next Saturday, same time, same station. Thank you, Jason. Jason Ryan, spaceflightinsider.com.
We'll take out with Apollo 11.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
This is Apollo Control Houston at 105 hours. Now into the flight, Apollo 11. Yeah, our current plan is to have crew members aboard the Eagle to eat and relax.
There you go. July 20th, 1969. AM 1300, WMEL, AM 1300, and you can listen online, am1300wmel.com.
Partly sunny skies for our Saturday. We'll have an afternoon high today of 71. Tonight, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy with a low of 53. Tomorrow, sunny skies, but our high again only